Would you take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Jonah? The book of Jonah, nearly everybody is familiar with the book of Jonah. Probably there's no Bible story that's ridiculed more than the story of Jonah. Academia looks upon it and makes great fun and sport of it. And it's always about Jonah and the big fish. We'll see that God prepared a big fish, a great fish. New Testament refers to a whale. What we do know is it was a guppy big enough to swallow you and me. Amen. And you say, Pastor, could that have happened only if you put God in the equation? But if you put God in the equation, it can happen. And by the way, for the people that want to make fun of it, if it's not an accurate story, if it's not a true story, then Jesus was very confused because Jesus believed in the story of Jonah and said so in the Gospels. And so tonight I want to talk about this story in terms of what Jonah teaches us about backsliding. I think before I read the text, I want to get our thoughts together like they should be regarding the issue of what it means to slide back or backsliding. Could we pray just a moment? Father in heaven, sometimes the most difficult thing that any one of us ever do is to be honest with ourselves before you. Now, like a laser, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the capacity to think, to recall, to remember, and to try to have some sense of objectivity as you know the truth about our hearts. And Lord, I'm fully aware as I pray this, that your word says my heart is deceitfully wicked. And so tonight, Lord, I don't want to impress or try to impress you or this group. I don't know, Lord, that I know my heart, but I know you do. And I'm asking you to search our hearts tonight and see if there be a wicked way in us. And then, Lord, in your mercy, if you find it, we'll repent of it. We make that commitment right now. And would you lead us in the way everlasting to the end, that we will be able to, by your mercy, save ourselves from the grief that comes with a backslidden condition. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to backslide, first of all? Billy Graham says that backsliding is a person who has once lived for God or walked with God in a certain measure. Listen to those words. Live for God or walk with God in a certain measure, and currently you're not walking with him and living for him like you once did. That's what backsliding is. I'm not qualified to answer any question in your life about backsliding, nor are you qualified to answer the question about anybody else. But before God, God knows the truth about us, and I ask you this penetrating question as I ask my own heart. Think now just a moment. Has there ever been a moment in any point whatsoever that your heart was more closely related to God than it is right now? And if God would bear witness in your soul that in any respect some part of your life was more closely related to God than it is right now, then right now, by definition, you are backslidden. Now, what are we going to do about it if the Lord so shows us that in our lives? I take this text and I want to read to you in this Jonah chapter 1. You will notice that the first chapter contains 17 verses. It's familiar, so don't let the familiarity of it rob us of what it says. Would you just follow along as I read? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their wickedness is come up before me. Now who's this talking? This is God talking. The Lord, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and says, you go talk to this city because their wickedness has come up before me. Folks, the wickedness of a people comes up before God. He is aware of everything you and I say, do, and think. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it, meaning the ship, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man under his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come. Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell to Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? That's a South Georgia way of saying, for heaven's sakes, who are you, where are you from, and who are your people? Verse 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Well, they knew if they threw him over, he's a dead duck. And so they tried not to do that. Verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We look at these verses, and we look at the issue of backsliding, and we see in this chapter and in the book that Jonah teaches us something about backsliding. When God had called Jonah to go preach to the city of Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, we find in the text that Jonah, in essence, said, God, I do not want to do that, and Jonah rebelled against that. Why did he do that? Because the Assyrian people in that hour were a very cruel people. They thought nothing of burying their enemies. They would sometimes take their enemies, and as horrendous as it is to even speak, they would skin them alive. And on occasions, they would put those people, they would drive a spear through them, somewhat like you might spear a fish, and they would spear them on a pole, and they would put them out into the hot sun in order to die a slow, agonizing death. And it becomes very obvious that Jonah thinks, God, you say you're going to send me down to preach to this city, to these wicked Assyrians, as rough and tough as they are? No. They ought to die. I'm not going down there. Jonah's attitude was, I had rather disobey God than see my enemies saved from defeat. So what we find in the text is, instead of going to Nineveh, we find that the text says that Jonah went the opposite direction, quote unquote, from the presence of the Lord. He fled, verse 3 says, from the presence of the Lord, which means when you go from the presence of the Lord, you turn away in backsliding. you go a direction other than the direction you ought to go. And what Jonah did, he at that point resigned his prophetic office. He's one of God's prophets. God, if that's what it means to be a preacher, if that's what it means to follow you, if that's what it means to be an obedient child, I don't want to be your child. I don't want to follow you. And he resigns his position. I'm through with that. I'm not doing that. You say, well, Pastor, I would never say that. No, but if you have enough resolve to do your own thing rather than God's thing, that's what that is. And Jonah had enough resolve to do his own thing and turn away from the Lord. And in that moment, he had that attitude of heart. That's a backslidden condition. That's the backsliding right there. I am not willing to do what I know God will bless. I had rather choose at what we think because we are absolutely deceived by the demons of hell. I'm going to choose an easier pathway. I'm not going to pay that price. God, I don't think that is required. Surely that's not what I've got to do, and I'm not willing to do that. I'm willing to do some things, but I'm not going preaching to that wicked city. And tonight in this room, it's very quiet because God has put his hand on your life and mine at various times, and maybe even recently. And he's put in your heart that you need to do something. That there's something he wants you to do to obey him. And you've not obeyed him. And you know you haven't obeyed him. And what's happened is that already in your heart, you're backslidden. Now, in our text tonight, I want us to look at the cause of his backsliding. I want us to look at the course of his backsliding, which is the direction of it. And then I want us to look at the consequences of his backsliding. So let's look first of all at the causes of his backsliding. And they were numerous. The cause was numerous causes. We know that from what we read, he had to have a wrong attitude about the will of God. Now, how so, Pastor? Well, he thought the Assyrians was cruel and evil and wicked people, and they ought to be punished. And the devil will always give you something that's partly true. Jonah thinks these are wicked people. They ought to be punished. Folks, is that a true statement? The answer is yes, that's a true statement. They ought to be punished. But when it's all said and done, do the Assyrians, should they be punished any more than I should be punished? Are they any guiltier in their moment than I've been guilty in my moment of life, or you've been guilty at some moment in your life? Well, no. But you see, he has a wrong attitude about the will of God. Well, he's got also a wrong attitude about his being a witness and serving God. You see, folks, you are a witness whether you're doing what God wants you to do or whether you're running from God. He failed to see that our lives, for or against, have a lot to say about God. No matter where you are or what you're doing. We many times use the word be a witness for God in a positive way, but we also can be witnesses of God in a very negative way. And Jonah was very negative in his witness. And we find in the text that he even told them what he was doing. I'm running from the presence of God. Isn't it interesting how a preacher, isn't it interesting how a child of God can even say to the enemies of God, these were pagans calling on their gods. Isn't it interesting how he would go tell people that did not know God and care nothing about God, I'm running from my God. They wasn't running from theirs. Think about the pitiful aspect of that witness. He had a wrong attitude toward prayer. And how do we know that? We don't have to read anything into the text. We don't find one time that he ever prayed, dear God, this is an assignment I don't think I can face. Dear God, would you give me strength to do what you're calling me to do? I'd just rather do my thing is to call on God. Why? Because you have a wrong attitude about prayer. The devil wants you to think that this is not something that you ought to pray about. It's beyond the pale, that it's too much, it's excessive. But I got news for you folks. Any part of life is too much for me and you. Any part of life is excessive for you and I. And you need God's power in your life and God's presence in your life to go do the things that God would want you to do as he did Jonah, but you also need God's presence in your life to walk down to your mailbox and to get the morning paper. There's not anything you don't need the presence of God for. And can I remind us in lots of tenderness and prayer for a family in Valdosta and just ask you the question, if that had been you, would it tonight not be such a good thing after all? I do not know the family, but I understand that the family is from Northside Baptist Church and very committed to the things of Jesus through that church. And their daughter, 51 or 2 years of age, over at the new high school, as they walked over there the other day, said, "I don't feel good," and she fell dead. One morning you are going to get up and put your clothes on, and before the day is out, either an emergency room or an undertaker is taking your clothes and your shoes off. Think about that. Is that when you want to be fine that happens in your life? That very day you've said to God, "No, that's too much." Let me tell you something. I'm grateful one day on a Via Dolorosa, a way of sorrows, that the Son of God, having been beaten as no man has ever been beaten, didn't say to his Father, "No, that's too much. These sinners I'm dying for are too wicked. I don't want to do this." That's the only one who could justifiably have said, "This bunch of trash I'm dying for isn't worth it." But he did that so that righteousness could be written down where no righteousness had been. That's you and me. And Jonah was messed up in terms of prayer. He really should have asked God for God's purpose and God's strength in his life. And based on what we'll read later on in chapter 2, I'm not going to today. He prayed a little later on when he got in trouble, but he never prayed he could fulfill the purpose of God. And many times people do not pray to do the will of God. They pray after they've not done the will of God, and there's trouble. He had the wrong attitude toward lost people and evil people. We find around chapter 4 that he really wanted to see these Assyrian people perish. That's what he wanted. Just let them go to hell. Well, folks, whoever went to hell last didn't deserve to go there no more than I deserve to go. And the only reason I'm not going is grace. And that's the way it is with you. That's the causes of his backsliding. Let's talk about the course of his backsliding. When you are backslidden, how does life proceed for you? If we look at the text of Scripture, backsliding is always downward. Did you notice in the text that Jonah went down to Joppa? Did you notice that he went down into the ship? Did you notice that he went down into the sea? And then finally he went down into the mouth of the big fish. Down, 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 down. Never as high as he once was. Never as good as he once had it. Backslidden condition takes you away from God. It takes you away from good. It takes you away from all that's decent and all that is wholesome and all that could build you up. Notice in verse 3 that the ship was waiting for him. And isn't it interesting? He even had the money to pay the fare. The Bible says he paid the fare. He was so much at peace that we find in verse 5 that while the storm's raging, he's able to go to sleep in the boat. Isn't it interesting? When you're backslidden, you can have comfort. Might have been because he had a little money in his pocket and he could pay the fare. We must remember that the devil is happy to supply your physical and your material needs if you'll just turn from God. And he will deceive you and think, "Well, you know, God's taking care of me." No, he's not. When you're headed away from God, that's the devil taking care of you. And the devil does like to take care of people that'll turn away and do something to hurt the name of God. That's the course of his backsliding. He went down, 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 down. And his course is no different than the course would be for my life or yours if we're backslidden. We're going down. We are on our way down. And as I have said to more people in 35 years of ministry than I can count, you're headed somewhere you don't really want to go. And when you finally realize where you are, you're going to be considerably farther away from the things of God, away from your family, away from decency, away from honor. You're going to lose part of your own humanity. You're going somewhere you don't want to end up. Jonah ended up in a very stinking condition. Can you imagine being in a whale's belly 3 days? Now, there's all kind of conjecture. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, Son of Man will be in the earth. There's conjecture on the part of Bible scholars that what may very well have happened is that he died while in the whale's belly. I don't know where he died or not. The text doesn't say, but I know he was in there 3 days. And you can just imagine if he was alive, wonder how much seaweed was down in there. Wonder about the darkness. You ever thought what the inside of a whale's belly would smell like? Folks, it don't stink half as bad as a backslidden Baptist who's living out in the hog pen like a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, living out somewhere that God never intended you to live. But you got to the place, just like Jonah did, that you had the wrong attitude toward God. You had the wrong attitude toward God's will. You had the wrong attitude toward prayer. And it looks like we would occasionally look at our lives and the lives of others and say, Dear God, don't let me do with my life what others have done. Lord, touch my heart afresh. But that doesn't happen that way very often. What we do know is, you let a person get backslid, and it'll even make a whale sick, and finally the whale couldn't stomach it, and he vomited him out. That's how sickening it is. Now, what are the consequences of his backsliding? Well, his consequences are tragic. First of all, remember who he is? Jonah is a what? Prophet or preacher. Well, the consequences of his backsliding is he's lost his prophetic voice. You don't think when he's backslid he preached like he did when he was right with God, do you? And you lose your voice for whoever you are in God's kingdom and purpose. Don't make this being a message just to preachers. It's a message to all of God's people. The consequences for Jonah were tragic, and they are always tragic for any of us. In fact, he so lost his voice that we find that in chapter 1 that God has prepared a great wind and there's a tempest, so God's having to speak through the wind and the waves because he's got a preacher that can no longer do it. He's resigned his office. How sad is that? He lost his physical energy. He had to be tired out. Verse 5 said he went to sleep. We don't normally go to sleep when we're really full of energy. We go to sleep when we're tired. Have you noticed that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and when you're depressed, you want to sleep all the time? Now, you want to sleep also when you're very tired and fatigued. You understand that? But the joy of the Lord becomes energy and strength. How many times have I walked into a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and if I'd have been real honest, I kind of regret it was Wednesday night. I didn't feel like being here. It has been a very long day, and I have dealt with troubles all day long. And lo and behold, we get to singing, and we start fellowshipping, and somebody brings special music, and we open the Word to God together, and before we can get out of here, where's me somebody to get to? I'm ready to fight the devil head on. What's happened? The things of God have once again been refreshed in our soul. And we were dragging in, but now we feel refreshed and renewed because the joy of the Lord has become our strength. He lost his spiritual energy because he obviously had lost his desire to pray. And the more tragic thing is when you're backslidden, even if you didn't lose your desire to pray, he lost his power in prayer when he does pray. Folks, when you pray, you want God's power to be at work. And when you're backslidden, there's only one prayer to pray, what the psalmist prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I repent of the wrong I've done. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my life. And what's interesting, in verse 6, did you notice something? Look at there. Verse 6. The shipmaster came to him and said, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. And verse 5 said, The mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, little g, to his pagan God. So here's the man of God, supposedly the prophet of God. and the heathen are calling on their false gods, and the man of God is asleep. What a pitiful, pitiful commentary on the man who ought to have been beseeching God in the behalf of what was happening. I don't know what you think about that, but I don't believe I'm reading too much into the text to tell you that this preacher, who is a preacher, and he identified of who, he gave it. When they said, "Who are you?" he said, verse 9, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven." So here is a Hebrew man who fears the Lord God of heaven, and he just told him a little earlier, "I'm fleeing the presence of God." Folks, I don't believe it takes a genius to put together that he lost his testimony with that bunch on that ship. They probably came to the conclusion that, don't know all that much about his God, but it must not be much, because here's one of his prophets, and he's not interested in serving him. So he lost his influence for good among those people. That's what happens when you backslide. And that's not unique to Jonah. That's not unique to Brother Wayne. That's not unique to anybody. That is a common occurrence with everybody who backslides. And God puts his finger on your heart that you need to get that part of your life right and back with God where you belong, and you refuse to do that. That's a dangerous thing. Well, if we went over into chapter 2, let me just say this to you. If you want to turn the page in verse 4 and 5, in chapter 2, let me just say verse 1. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of where? The fish's belly. And he said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again to thy holy temple." Verse 5, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." Folks, what we find is Jonah almost lost his life. That's some of the consequences of backsliding. I don't want to call names. Some of you would recognize it and some of you wouldn't. That's not the point. There was a well-known preacher all over America. Tens of thousands went to hear him preach. He's now deceased. He had a good, faithful wife. They called him the chaplain of Bourbon Street. He had headquarters down in New Orleans. And he got too close to the things of the world. As you probably know, on Bourbon Street, no different than Las Vegas or other major cities, prostitutes are waist deep and a mile long. And he got mixed up, tied up, a backslidden heart, and ended up being involved with one of those people. Can I tell you, first of all, good news? Let me give you some good news. That's a tragic thing to have to say. It actually happened. But the good news is, if you do that and finally have a repentant heart, God will forgive that. That is good news. Can somebody say amen? Amen? God will forgive it. Here's the tragedy. The day he died, meaning not the literal day, but until he died, if you were to ask him, where did it get off? He said, and I'll just use the name Beth. That wasn't his wife's name, but I'll just use that because that's my wife's name. He said, "Well, I tell you, biggest mistake I ever made was letting Beth get away from me." Till he died. Had two other wives, but he always said, "The biggest mistake I made was letting Beth get away from me." See, the reason he lost the first wife was not the prostitute. That's a symptom of the problem. The problem, he backslidden in here. And though God forgave him, and I have no doubt that he died and went straight to heaven, he lived the rest of his life regretful that he let his wife, quote, get away from him. He lived with that deep regret. There is a cost with backsliding. If you don't give God your undivided attention, there is a cost that I love you too much to want you to live with the rest of your life. I want you in any area. It may be your prayer life. It may be your witnessing life. It may be your thought life. It may be your giving life. It may be, go ahead, run the litany. There is a cost involved in getting away from God in any area of life and not coming to recognize, you know what? I don't have to tell the world, but I got to tell God, I know I'm backslidden in that area and I'm not willing to live this way any longer. Tonight, has God put his finger on some area of your heart? Are you messing around, involved with somebody somewhere? Maybe just right down here, not far from the church, at one of these office buildings. You got any extracurricular activity going on at break time or maybe lunchtime? You talking to anybody in a chat room on the internet? You got some things going on and you look as respectable as a preacher that's got a world ministry on one of the most well-known streets in America. You've really got it together. But God knows, and you know, there's an area where you're backslid. For God's sake, for heaven's sake, for your own sake, for the kingdom's sake, cry out to God for forgiveness. The greatest news in the world is that he will forgive you this night. He can restore you to where you belong with him. No man ever needed something restored as bad as he or she needs to be restored in their total fellowship with God. He's available. Are you? Father in heaven, on this Sunday evening, Jonah teaches us a very serious, serious thing about backsliding. And I pray that in these moments of solemnness, in these moments of solitude, in these moments of soul searching, may the divine X-ray of the Spirit of God scan across my heart and scan across the hearts and minds of this people. May you, Lord, as we bow in this moment, search us. Try us. Lord, do you see a wicked way within us? Lord, is there an open door enough to let the enemy send a fiery dart right through the crack to bring damage and destruction to our heart and our home, to our church and to our community? Precious Spirit of God, if you'll show that to us in these moments, we will repent. And we humbly beg, deliver us, Lord, from anything that would bind, and lead us and lead us only in the way everlasting, which is thy blessed way. Strengthen the lives of this church, of her members, of those present and those who are not present. Work your amazing grace throughout this fellowship. Bless in these moments as we do business with you. In Jesus' name we ask. I'm going to ask Brother David just to begin leading us in this song. I'm going to ask you to continue to pray as long as you want to, and when you're through praying, you can stand.